Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the lower part of Daf Yud Ches Omid Beis, at the Mishnah that represents the beginning of the third perek of Tainus. You will notice that, as we saw in the second perek, here too we have a Mishnah that is very long. It will take in most of Daf Yud Tes Omid Aleph. In effect, it represents the Mishnayos of the third perek, and that from this point till the end of the perek, you won't find any other Mishnayos, as is usually the case in most Prokim and Shas, where the perek is broken down into individual Mishnayos. Here, they are presented as one long Mishnah. The topic heading that we have on the side reads as follows under the Nosei heading, Tanios Tzibur Mishum Sibois Noisofois Chutz Miatziros Kishomim. We'll be seeing additional types of public fasts declared because of other reasons other than rain shortage, rain being withheld, droughts. Tanios Elu Gam Enom Lefi Haseder Shel Gimel Gimel Zayin Elo Misanin Miyad. The Ta'anios that are featured, the fasts that are featured here, are imposed immediately as opposed to the gradual build-up of three and then a subsequent three, a series of three fasts and then a final seven days of fasting, seven Mondays and Thursdays of fasting in the full 24-hour sense. These fasts are initially a complete full-day fasts. The Mishnah, Seder Tanios Elu, the Seder means the order or the series of fasts, Ho'amur Borvia Rishona. They apply to the lack of initial rainfall during the beginning of the rainy season, meaning that if the date for the first rainfall passes without the rain falling, without precipitation, so then the series of fasts that we just mentioned, three days, Monday, Thursday, Monday, and then a second series of three fasts, followed by a third series of seven fasts, that is with regard to the lack of rain at the beginning of the rainy season. Avol, tzmochem shishonu masriin alein miyad. However, if they planted a crop and there was some type of change in the sprouting of the crop, in other words, they planted wheat and what sprouted seemed to be thorns. Or in other words, there was a crop, the crop appeared to be ruined, so that at that point we immediately start. The word masriin, we've seen this word in the past, it involves interpreting it as a shofar blowing, but Rashi adds over here that in addition to the shofar blowing, which is characteristic of the prayers held during the last seven fasts, in the case of the rain, in the case of this tzmochem shishanu, that starts immediately when it's noticed. And as Rashi says, shekol choymer ha'achroinos noeg b'hen, all of the stringencies of the last seven fasts, in the case of the rain, apply here immediately. We continue. V'chein sheposku shomim bein geshem legeshem arboim yoim. Let us say that there was a rainfall, but before the second rainfall of the season, there was a gap of 40 days. Masriin alein miyad. that causes, again, an immediate, we'll say, need for full-blown 24-hour fasts. Mipnei shihi makas batzoras. That represents a maka, an affliction of batzoras. Batzoras has to do with drought and limitation. Yordu litzmochem avoloi yordu li'ilan. Let's say there was a rainfall, but it was suitable only for plants and was not useful for trees. Li'ilan velo litzmochem, or a type of rainfall that's fit for trees and not for plants. Loze veloze avoloi liboros l'shichun umoros, or a type of rainfall that's suitable for trees and plants but wouldn't fill up their reservoirs, their boros l'shichun umoros, their water wells. Masrin alehen miyad. Again, this generates the need for an immediate series of fasts, of complete 24-hour fasts. V'chein ir shelo yordu aleo gishomim. Likewise, a city that didn't experience rainfall. Dechtiv. The Pasuk says in describing a cursed situation, v'imtarti al ir achas, val ir achas lo amtir. Chalko achas timoter v'chule. The Pasuk describes one city receiving rain and another city remaining dry. That is a sign of a cursed situation. We continue at the top of Yutes Samad Aleph. Oisohir misane umasraas. The city that was deprived of the rain, so it fasts and it sounds the shofar. The chol svivo seha, the surrounding areas. Misanois velo masrios. They fast, but they don't sound the shofar. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he has the opposite approach to the surrounding areas. Masrios velo misanos. They sound the shofar, but they don't fast. V'chein ir shiyesh bo dever o mapoles. A city that experiences a plague or buildings collapsing. Mapoles has to do with buildings collapsing. Oisoir misano misras. The city itself is to experience fasting and shofar blowing. V'chol svivo seho, the surrounding areas, misanois velo masrios, they fast but no shofar sounding. Rabbi Akiva Omer, masrios velo misanos. Rabbi Akiva, like we saw before, he opts for the shofar blowing and not for fasting regarding the surrounding areas. Ezehu dever, how does one identify a situation as being dever, the plague? Ir hamotzio chomesh meos ragli, a city that has a population of 500 citizens. V'yotzu mimeno shloish meisim v'shloish yomim ze achar ze. And there were on three consecutive days a person dying. So you have three people dying over the course of three consecutive days. Hare ze dever. That counts as dever with the ensuing need for fasting. Pochos mikan ein ze dever. Less than that, so it doesn't constitute dever. Al elu masriyan b'chol mokim. The following are reason for starting to pray, to sound the shofar, wherever you may be located. Al hashidofon. Shidofon is translated as crop blast. Yerokon is a type of disease. Vala arbe, val chosil. Arbe is a type of locust as well as the chosil. Ve'al hachayo ro'o, and regarding wild killing type animals that kill people. Ve'al hacherev, and these are army troops, soldiers that are on their way to kill and to destroy. Masrian oleha, we will start to sound the shofar and pray. Mipnei shimakim ahaleches. Even if you are not in the area where any of these items or situations were noticed, but nevertheless you heard about it, that it was affecting somewhere else, you nevertheless have to start the prayer and the shofar sounding. Because it's a makim ahaleches, it's a a problem, an affliction that is mobile, that moves. Maisa Shior du Zakenim Yerushalayim Le'orehem was an incident where the sages went from Jerusalem to their cities in Eretz Yisrael. The Gozeru Tainis Al Shanira Kimloi Pi Tana Shidofen Ba'ashkelon. And they issued a fast because there had been noticed a small amount. The term Malopi Tanur is literally the amount that would fill the entrance to an oven of Shidofen, of crop blast. And it was seen in Ashkelon. And nevertheless, you see that cities all over Israel started to fast because of that. The Oid Gozru Tainis Al Shochlu Zevim Shnei Tinoikis Beiva Hayardin. And they also issued a fast because two children were consumed by wolves on the other side of the river, of the Jordan River. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Al She Ochlu Elo Al She Niru. Rabbi Yossi goes even further, not that the infants or the children were actually eaten, but that they were seen. And they were seen entering the city, which is basically something unusual for wolves to do. And that's reason enough to start fasting. Al Elu Masriyan B'Shabbos. Regarding the following, we will Masriya even on Shabbos. Al Ir Shikifua Nochrim Oy Nohor. A city that was surrounded by Gentiles, or by an overflowing river. V'al hasfina hametarefes bayam, a boat, a ship that's being cast around at sea. In other words, that it's being threatened with being sunk. Rabbi Yossi Omer leEzra v'lo litzoka. The reference to Shabbos is with regard to screaming out or crying out for assistance, but not in terms of prayer. Shimon HaTimni Omer Af Al HaDever. He says that even on Dever there could be screams or prayers. V'loi Hoidu Lo Chachomim, but the sages did not agree with him. Al kol tzora shelo tovo al hatzibor. Now this expression, al tzora shelo tovo, is a euphemism, but rather it's because of all kinds of troubles that afflict a community. Masriyan alehem. We pray, we sound the shofar to have heaven intervene and stop them. Chutz meirov kishama, with the exception of a situation where there is an overabundance of rain. Maisa she'amru lo, and now what we see here is a very, very famous story involving Choni HaMa'agel, and it helps. It's here to illustrate the point that was just made by the Mishnah, that roiv geshamim, an overabundance of rain, is not reason for praying. Maisa she'amru lo l'Choni HaMa'agel, an incident involving Choni the circle maker, as that name will become clear later. And they requested of him hispalel shi'er de geshamim. Apparently, it was a period of non-rainfall, so they beseeched him to pray in order for rain to fall. Omar lahem tzu v'achnisu tanure psochim b'shvil shelo yimoku. The tanure psochim are a reference to ovens in which they would roast the korban pesach. They were made of clay and they were movable, so he said to bring them indoors. Now, since they're made of clay, water will dissolve them. So, in order to preserve them, bring them indoors. B'shvil shelo yimoku, so that they shouldn't decay or fall apart. Hispalel v'lo yordu geshamim. He started to pray, but rain did not fall. Now it's obvious, but we'll say it anyway. They turned to Choni. He was a very well known tzaddik, a well known pious individual, and his prayers would have great significance. And he prayed, and yet the rain didn't fall. Ma osa, so what did he do? Og uga, he drew a circle in the ground. V'omad besocha, and he stood in its middle, in its midst. V'omad lefonav, and he announced, he said the following to the Almighty, Ribono Sholem, Master of the universe, Bonecho Somu Pneim Olai, your children, the people of Israel, have placed their trust, their confidence in me, Shani Keben Bayis Lefonecho, that I am like a member of your household, I am very familiar with you, I'm very close with you. Nishba ani b'shimcha gadol, I swear in your great name, she'eni zoz mikan, I am not going to move out of this circle, ad she'terachim al bonecha, until you have mercy and compassion for your children. Hischilu kishama menatfim. So the water, the rain started to drizzle. Menatfim is an expression indicating a light rain. Omar, so he, Choni then said, lo kach sha'alti, I didn't ask for this type of misty, light rain. Elo gishmei boros shichun moros. I'm asking for a quantity of rain that's capable of filling the water reservoirs, the different types of pits, the boros shichun moros, different types of water reservoirs. Hischilu leirid bezav. So water came down in a torrent. Omar, and then Choni said, lo kach sha'alti, I didn't expect the rain to come down in a torrent only for the purpose of filling the reservoirs. Elo gishmei rotzen rochun udava, but I'm requesting rain that comes in kindliness and in abundance, and that is beneficial. Yardu ketiknan. Well, then it started to turn into a nice, pleasant type rainfall. Ad shiyotzi yisrael mishlan lahar abayis. It was so much rain that fell. It was falling in a pleasant fashion, but more and more and more until the people left their low-lying homes in Jerusalem and went up to the Temple Mount, which is a high location. B'nei Hagsham, because of the rain, apparently they were experiencing flooding. Bo'u v'yomru lo, the population turned to Choni and said, Kishem shispalata aleim shiyerdu, just as you prayed for them to fall, for the rain to fall, Kach hispalo shiyechu, pray similarly that they should go away. Shiyechu lohen, they should go away. Omar lohem, so Choni said to the people, Tzu uru im nimches even hatoein. Go see if the even hatoein has become eroded. Now that's a nice way of saying that. That's not going to happen. And since the Evan HaToin, now Rashi points out Evan HaToin, Evan Toin, Shoyis Rishalayim V'chomisha Avdol Aveda, Bovetzia, it was a place that people who had lost, items that were lost, were announced over there. So he says, go see if that rock has become eroded, and then I will stop. Which, is, as we said, is another way of saying, I can't pray for the rain to stop. Sholach loy Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach, who was the leader of the time, sent for him, and he said, Il mole choni ato, if you weren't choni, who was a great tzaddik and very beloved by the Almighty, Gozrani Olecho Nidui, I would have imposed upon you excommunication for the way that you spoke to the Almighty. You put him on the spot, so to speak, said, I'm not moving out of this circle until you answer my prayers. Avomaya Selucho, well, what can I do with you? Shato Mischati Lifnei Hamokoim, you pray forcefully to the Almighty, Ve'oisalach Rusoncho, and he does what you want, he fulfills your request, Keben Shu Mischati Aloviv, Ve'oisalach Rusono, just like there are children that implore upon their fathers to do this or do that for them, and they do it. The Alecha Kosov Omer, regarding you, the Pasuk says, Yismach Avicha V'imecha V'sogel Yoldasecha. The father and mother rejoice over their child. And that's how Choni was perceived by Shimon Shetach as being such in the eyes of the Almighty. Hoyu Mis'anin V'yordu Lohem Gishomim. If a fast had been declared, and then rain started falling. So now, with our numbering system, we're breaking the Mishnah down into different parts. Kodem hanetzachama lo yashlimu. If the rain started falling before sunrise, so then they don't have to complete the fast. In other words, their prayers were answered, showing that they, at that early a point in time, showing that they don't have to complete the fast. La'achar netzach hamo yashlimu, if it started to rain, but only after sunrise, so they have to finish the fast that they had accepted. Rabbi Lezer Omer, he's now a second approach to this, with time-wise, kodem ha-chatzos lo yashlimu, if the rain starts falling before noon, so they don't have to complete the fast. La'achar chatzos yashlimu, if the rain starts after midday, after noon, then they still have to complete the fast. There was an incident where rain, where a fast was declared in Lud, and rain started falling before noon. Omar lehem Rabbi Tarfon, tzu v'ichlu ushtu, v'asu yom tov, you can go out and eat and drink and make a holiday. V'yotzu v'achlu v'shosu v'asu yom tov, and in fact they did that, like Rabbi Tarfon said, uvo bein ho'arbayim, and it came to the afternoon, v'koru halil ha'godol, and they recited Hallel in acknowledging the joyous aspect of that day that the rain started falling. The Gemara opens up with what seems to be a contradiction in Tanaic sources. Seder Tanios Ha'elu Ha'omur B'Raviya Rishona. How did our Mishnah begin? It said that the series of fasts was concerning the first rainfall, the lack thereof. Viromini. And now we ask a contradiction. Revio Rishona, Ushnia Lishol. We have dates for the first and second rainfall, and those dates are important in order to know when to ask for rain. Shlishis Lisanos, the third rainfall, and the lack of a third rainfall is for fasting. So we seem to have a contradiction. Is it because of Revio Rishona, the lack of the first rainfall that generates the need for fasting, or the lack of the third rainfall? Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda resolves. He says, Hachi ka'amar. Thusly, we are to understand this, the sources. Seder Tanios Ha'omur, the series of fasts that we have learned about, Amosai, when is it? Bizman Shiyotsu Revio Rishono Shnia Ushlishis Velo Yordu Gishomim. That is when the dates for the first, second, and third rainfalls passed without any rain. Avol Yordu Gishomim Revio Rishona. However, if the rain fell at the expected first date, Vizoru v'lot samchu, and they planted and nothing sprouted. Inami tzamchu v'chozu v'nishtanu, or it had sprouted, but then after it sprouted, it changed. Something it started to appear as something other than that which they planted. Masrin alein miyad. If those situations arise, then there is the immediate full-blown fasting and prayer that must be imposed. Omar Rav Nachman, Davko Nishtanu, Avol Yavshu Lo. When we speak about the need for immediate masrin, immediate shofar blowing, and full-fledged, complete 24-hour fasts, that is only if there was this change. But if there was Yavshu was drying out, then there is no need. Pshita, what does Rav Nachman add? Nishtanu tnan. The source uses the word nishtanu, change, not dried out. Lo tzricha, what I need Rav Nachman's teaching for is de okun. And before we translate this, we're going to read a couple more words of Gemara and then learn through the Rashi. So the Gemara says, I need Rav Nachman's teaching in the case of de okun. Mahu tetemo akanta milsehi. One might have thought that the fact that it reached this stage where it was okun, that is a consideration. Komash malon, so Rav Nachman is telling me that you don't pay any attention to that. Now, we obviously didn't explain anything yet, so we look at the Rashi. Dafka Nishtanu, this is Rashi commenting on Rav Nachman. He said that the Masrin Alei Miad is Dafka Nishtanu Dechi Nishtanu, when the plant changes. Vadai Hu, the Masrin Miad, the Tzorch Nispalo Leo, Shiafsru, the Yofi Ketiknon. You have to immediately pray for it to restore to its original identity. So, Nishtanu necessitates what we called Masriyan Miyad. And we were explaining before, Masriyan is the full-fledged fasting and prayers that is characteristic of the end of the series of fasts when it comes to a drought. Rashi continues, Aval Yavshu. Now, one has to note that there are two Lashonos. We're going to be presenting only the first Lashon, the first version in this sugya, but we have numbered them in our marked Gemaras. Avol Yavshu loy tzorech demikan ve'elech loy yoyel v'tfilas shav. If it's if the crop dried out, then this is the point that Rav Nachman made. Then there's no hope. Prayer isn't going to help anymore, and it's an empty tefila. Aval Yavshu kishehen chitin adayin kishen chitin adayin dakin afilu hachi lo masriyan. So that we're explaining the Aval Yavshu again means that if when they were very young wheat sprouts and they dried out, there is no masriyan. Hachi garsina pshita nishtanu tanan. So now Rashi explains. The okun she'olu hakona, the stalk started to arise. She'nis kenu me'at la'achar she'nis yavshu. Rav Nachman was when he said avol yavshu lo, he's talking about a situation where after the plant dried out, the stalk started to grow a little more. Mahu detema akanta milsihi dehoil v'niskenu ma'at, that since it got a little bit better, im yispalel mo'il lahem, if you pray, it will be beneficial. Komashim Rav Nachman de'akno lav milsa. So according to this pshat in Rashi, a situation like that where it dried out and then it appeared to sprout a little more afterwards, it's a, we'll call it like a, it's a false, improvement, and therefore there is no prayer that one is to engage in because it's not going to help. The Gemara continues. V'chein sheposku kishomim bein geshem legeshem. The Mishnah spoke about a gap between rainfalls of 40 days, and it described that as batzores. My makas batzores. What is meant by that expression in the Mishnah? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, mako hamavio lidei batzores. It's an affliction that leads to batzores. The lack of rainfall, for example, of 40 days between two rainfalls, is a situation that will lead to a shortage, batzoras, meaning a food shortage. And now we go on with a couple of cases that in which the Mishnah will contrast a batzoras with something called kafna. Kafna is is famine, what ra'av. So Rav Nachman says, nara anara equals, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Batsorta, that's Batsores. Medinto, Amedinto equals Kafna. Now these are very vague expressions, but with the help of Rashi, we'll gain some understanding. So Rashi at the bottom of Yutes Amad Aleph, Naura Naura Batsorta, B'she'ein Tvua B'ir Achas, V'yesh Bayor Sacheros. In a situation where one city does not have grains in it, there's a food shortage in one city, but other cities have. V'efshu lahavi mizel zederech nahar b'svina, and the rivers, there are the cities are in and under discussion are situated along a river, so that if you have one city, let's say a city that's downstream that doesn't have any wheat, any grains, but cities upstream do have, it's very easy to ferry downstream to the city that's lacking from the cities that have. So the city that is lacking, it's called a batsores. Now, if, however, the only way to bring grain to a place that's lacking is through a much more tedious method of transport, namely donkey travel, that's what is meant by medinto a medinto, that you have an entire region that's lacking food, and the only way to get to get food to that region is overland by donkey travel. That is called kafna. Kafna is a raw famine, and Rashi points out that that's a more serious situation than batsores. V'yomer Rabbi Chanina, here we get into some economic descriptions of food problems. Saw besela ushricha. If a saw is a measure, a certain measure of grain, it will cost you a sela. This is expensive in Talmudic terms. So if one saw would cost a sela, sela was a type of coin, ushricha, but it's available. It's there on the store shelves of stores. It just happens to be very expensive. That's called batsorta. That's a situation that we would describe as batsores. However, arbo so'in besela velo shicha. If you have a situation where you can, where the wheat, the grains that are available are very cheap, you get four sa'ah for one sela. However, the lo shchicha means there isn't any money to buy the grains with. That's kafna. That's considered a famine. Om Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu elo bezman shamois bezol uperos beyoker. Rabbi Yochanan says that this situation is such when you have the availability of money and the item, the food, is itself expensive. If a situation arises that there's no money available, even though the food is cheap, masrian aleho miyad, we would start the intense prayers with shofar blowing immediately. The Omar of Yochanan, Nahirna, I remember, kad havu kaimi arbisoyin besela. There was a four saw you could buy for one saw. Food was cheap. However, if I have a nefichi kafon b'teveria midales isar, there were people celebrate. Literally, nefichi means a lot of nefiche, bloated bellies, kafon because of famine, massive malnutrition in Teveria midales isar. There was no isar is a type of coin. There was no money around. And that led to a situation of famine. Yordu utzmochem avalo le'ilon. On the side of the Gemara, and there are no say heading, we've written Hezber dugma'os hamofios b'mishnah. We're going to explain the different examples brought in the Mishnah al geshem shemuyel b'miktsas that regarding rain that's only partially beneficial kigon utzmochem avalo le'ilonos, etc., like the case of rain that's considered beneficial for plants and not for trees. So, and in our markings, we've underlined the different situations as they arise. Bishlamo litzmochen avaloli ilon, rain that's suitable for plants but not for trees. Mishkachas law, that can be found the osa nichov lo osa razio. It's a type of rainfall, a drizzle, a light rain, but and that does not come with force, with strength. That type of rain is beneficial for plants, but not for trees. For trees, the rain has to come with a certain amount of force in order to penetrate the ground and reach the tree roots. Le'ilon v'lo litzmochin, water, the rain that's good for trees and not for plants. the asio razia v'lo asio nicha. It's a rain that falls with force and not in a an ease of a fashion and of ease. Lozeh v'lozeh avolo leboros lo shichun moros. What about a rainfall that's described as useful, beneficial for trees and for plants, but not for the water supply? Mishkachas lo the asio razia v'nicha mihu tuvo lo asio. That's a situation where you have during a rainfall, some of it is razia, is with strength, is hard. The other is nicha, is soft, a pleasant drizzle. So that's beneficial. The razia is beneficial for the trees. The nicha type rainfall is beneficial for the tzmochim. However, tuva lo asya, but a lot doesn't fall, so that you're not going to have enough rain to fill the reservoirs. Elo. So till this point, we've described three situations. Elo hadesanya. However, what about the following source? Yordu leboros shichinu moros, rain that is suitable for the water supply. Avoloi loze veloze, but not good for all the different types of for the plants and the trees. Hechi mishkachas lo. How would you describe that? Something that's good for the water supply and doesn't benefit the plant life, the plants nor the trees. So the Gemara answer is the asya b'shvichusa. It comes down in a torrential fashion. Rashi says b'koyach godol midai, in a very torrential way. So that's not beneficial for plants nor for trees, but it will fill the water supplies. Before going further, we glance at the side under the note, say the topic heading, Od Dugmoy Shildvarim Shalehem Masriim. Other examples of things that we will blow the shofar for. Chelik some of these are situations that arise during the six of the 7 years of the agricultural cycle, the 6 years that one is allowed to engage in agriculture. And some of these, you'll see, will be reason for masrian even on the Shemitah year, which is a year that's basically forbidden in agricultural activity. Tona Rabbanan, Masriin al ha'ilonus befros ha'pesach. In this case, the expression befros ha'pesach means in the midst of Pesach. One can pray and blow the shofar for a situation where rain hasn't fallen to benefit trees, and this Masriin can take place even in the midst of Pesach. Haboros v'shichnu moros, if you have a situation where there's no water in the reservoirs, befros hachag, the masriyan can take place during Sukkos. The imain lohem mayim lishtos, if they don't have any water to drink, masriyan alein miyad, they are expected to masriyan immediately. The ezo miyad shalahen, what is that considered? When you say masriyan alein miyad, what do you mean by that? Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, a series of fasts starting on Monday, then a Thursday, and then the following Monday. V'kulon ein masriyan lehem elo b'afarchio shelahen. All of these, we speak about masriyan only in their kingdoms, in their regions. So that if you have a region where their water supplies have been depleted, so that's the Boros Shichun Moros, they will engage in the Masriyan. The Askara is a type of disease, an internal disease. The Gemara describes it as something starting in the mouth and then eventually working its way to one's innards. The Askara, Bizman Shiyesh Bo Miso, Masriyan Oleo. Bizman Shein Bo Miso, Ein Masriyan Oleo. If there is an appearance of askara, so when it causes death, so then there's masriyan. If it doesn't cause death, so there's no masriyan. Umasriyan al hagovai bechol shehu. Govai is a type of, it's an insect, it's a type of locust, but it's not there are different names for different kinds of locusts. So when dealing with the govai, that's even if any small amount of govai appears, masriyan. Rabbi Shimon Blazer Omer, afal hachagav, even if chagav appears, another type of locust. But now Rashi points out that there's a difference. The govai, even if a small amount of them appear, that's a sign that many more are on the way. Not so in the case of chagav. So as we saw in this Tanaic source, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, even concerning the chagav, we are masriyan immediately. Kol rabbanan masriyan al hilonos b'shar shnei shavua al haboros v'al shichan moros afilu b'shvias. Masriyan is practiced, in other words, the shofar blowing and the fasting is done when there's no water for trees during the 6 years of the 7 year Shemitah cycle. And when it comes to depleted water supplies, Boros Shichmoros, we even will be Masriyan on Shemitah itself. Afilu Bishvias. Shimul Omer, Af Al Hayilonos Bishvias, we will be Masriyan concerning the lack of water for trees as well during Shvias, Meshiashman Parnos Laniyam, because the trees ordinarily provide fruit, and that's the sustenance of the poor is dependent on that. That's the parnosa laniyim. So that even during a Shemitah year, the appearance of fruit for the trees to produce their fruit on their own is very important. Tanyo idach masriyan al ha'ilonos bishar shnei shvua. We just saw this in the previous source, that we will be masriya for trees during the 6 years of the 7 year sabbatical cycle. Al boroshich ha'moros afilu b'shvias. Rav Shimon Eliel Omer, Af al ho'ilonos, he says, even for ilonos during the Shemitah year. Masriyan al ha'sfichin b'shvias, m'nei sheyesh b'hen parnos elaniyim. The term sfichin, without getting into detail, is a reference to things that grow on their own. So that if a problem arises concerning the svichim, even though it's Shemitah year, which is a time that one's not allowed to engage in agricultural activity to begin with, but nevertheless, the svichim is something that serves as mitneshesh and parnosanim. It serves as a source of sustenance for the poor. Again, it's a reference to things that grow on their own. And of course, in Shemitah year, all the fields are hefker; they're unowned, and hence people can go in and take whatever is growing there. Tanya. Before we go on, we have on the side a topic heading. Braisa hametaeres hagshomim shiyordim leolam acharei hurban habayis. We're going to see in this braisa a description of rainfalls after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Benosaf lekach muva misholim kedei letar hamatzavim hashanim. In addition, in this brisa we'll see different analogies to explain, to describe the different situations. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Proto, miyom shechorav beis hamikdash. Rabbi Elazar tells us that from the day the temple was destroyed, nasu gishomim tzimukim la'olam, rain has become decreased, diminished for the world. Yesh Shana. Now, before we read on, just note that we have a numbering scheme in this Tanaic source. The first, let's say, installment deals with quantity. That's where the Roman numeral number 1 appears. And there's a breakdown of Aleph and Beis, which will become obvious as we go along. And then Roman numeral number 2 on the next line deals with time as opposed to quantity. So we continue. Yesh shana shegeshomeha merubin, v'yesh shana shegeshomeha mu'atin. There are years that there is a lot of rain, and there are years that there is little rain. Yesh shana shegeshomeha yordim bizmanom. There are years that the rain falls on time, v'yesh shana she'ein gishomeha yordin bezmanon, and there are years that it doesn't fall on time. In other words, it'll fall only late in the season. Shana shigishomeha yordin bezmanon. Now, in describing these, we're going to do it in reverse order. So that's why the numbering that we have corresponds to the way the items were presented at the beginning of the source. So now we're going to describe the issue of the rain, whether it falls on time or not. Shonik shomel yordem bizmanon lemahu dome. What is that? What can it be likened to? Le'eved shenosan lo rabo parnososo be'echod b'shabbos. It's like a servant that received his income, his allowance, at the beginning of the week, and being that he received his allowance, his food allocation at the beginning of the week, nimseis isa nefes tikna v'necheles tikna. He has plenty of time to prepare his dough. Esau is this dough. Nefes ketikna is baked properly, and it can then be eaten properly. In other words, when you receive things on time, in this case, like at the beginning of the week, you have enough time to take care of its preparation and not being harried at the last moment. Shana she'ein gishma yordan bizmanan, a year that the rain doesn't fall at the beginning of the rainy season, lemahu doima, what can it be compared to? Le'evet shenosan l'rabu parnososu b'erev Shabbos. Can be compared to a servant who received his allocation, his food, his allowance on a Friday. And well, when is he going to have time to prepare it? And only has very little time, and it'll be very harried. So it's nimtzis isa nefesh shelo k'tikna v'necheles shelo k'tikna. So it come out that the dough is not prepared in a proper way, nor is it eaten in a proper way. Shona shek shomea merubin. And now we go to Roman number one, the issue of quantity. A year that has a bounty of rain, lemahu doima, what is it? What can it be likened to? Le'eved shenosan l'rabu parnososu b'vas achas. It's like a servant who received his allocation, his grains, at one time. Now, before going further, there's a certain amount of assumed loss when processing grains. You have to deal with a grinder. The grinder has crevices, so there's a certain amount of grains that remain stuck in the crevices. And that amount is going to be the same whether you grind a little or you grind a lot. The teeth of the grinder get filled up with a certain amount of grain. And likewise, with regard to the kneading bowl, there's a certain amount that gets absorbed in the cracks and crevices of the bowl, whether you prepare a lot or you prepare a little. So it's to your advantage to prepare a lot. So a year that has a lot of rain, what can it be compared to? It can be compared to a servant who received his portion, all of his portion, in his allowance, in one shot. Nimtzu rechayim tochanos minakur, masha tochanos minakav. The result of that is that he'll be able to grind a large amount, and whatever amount is he stands to lose because of the grinder retaining a certain amount of the grains. So whatever amount he loses to the grinder in grinding a core is a large amount. It's the same amount that he will lose if he were grinding a small amount, a kav. A kav is a small amount. Nimseis areva ocheles min hakur kemo she kemo ocheles min hakav. The Esau is the areva. The areva is the mixing bowl, the bowl in which you knead the dough. So that the same thing is the case if you're kneading a lot or you're kneading a little, the same amount of diminishing will take place. So you might as well knead a lot, and thereby benefit from the grinder and the mixing bowl, having absorbed a basic amount that it would absorb anyway. Shana shel shmel mu'atin, a year that has little rainfall, l'mahu doime, l'evet shenosan l'rabu parnasosu ma'at. That can be compared to a servant who received his grain allocation in small installments. This is the same expression as we saw before. And nimtzeis iso kemoshe necheles minakur or cheles min hakav. But my understanding of this situation is that when the servant receives small quantities of grain to grind, so each time he'll grind a small amount, and there'll be the amount retained by the grinder, the mixing bowl. And when he comes to grind his next small installment, that same depletion is going to result. He ends up losing on each act of grinding, and that's all because he was receiving it in small installments. Dover acher, bizman sheg shomea merubin, lemal hu daima, a year that has a lot of rain, what can it be compared to? Laodam shemegabel esatit, to someone who's kneading clay. Imyesh loy mayim rabim, if he has a large water supply. Mayim einon kolin, he doesn't use up the water. Vehatit megubel yofet, and the clay can be kneaded well. There's enough water, he doesn't have to skimp on the water. So the water supply will remain, and he'll also be able to knead the clay properly. Imyesh lo mayim watim, if all he has is a small amount of water. Mayim kolim vatit eno misgabel yofa, he's going to exhaust his water supply and the clay will not be kneaded well. Before we go further, we have a topic heading, the nosei maisim nagdimon ben gurion. This source essentially is, it's a very long source, but it brings in the story. It's a very well known story involving nagdimon ben gurion. So without any further ado, Tanu Rabbanan Pam Achas Olu Kol Yisrael LeRegel Shalayim, was an occasion where the Jews ascended to Jerusalem in the Aliyos HaRegel, the thrice year holiday pilgrimage. V'lohoyo lahem mayim lishtos, and there was no water for the Olei Regolim, for the pilgrims who come to Yerushalayim. Halach Nagdimon Ben Gurion. And Rashi describes him as a very wealthy individual. Eitzel Odoin Echot, he went to some master, some lord. Omar Lo, Halveni Shteim Esrei Minus Mayim, Lo'ilu Regalim, lend to me 12 wells of water for the Oile Regalim. Vani Etein Lecho Shteim Esrei Einois Mayim, and I will return to you 12 wells of water. The Im Eini Nosein Lecho, Hareini Nosein Lecho Shteim Esrei Kikur Kesef. And if I don't give you the wells of water, then I will give you 12 kikar, is a measure, a certain large measure of silver. The koval ozman, and they set a date. Kevon shigia hazman v'lo yordu gishamim. Well, when that date came and rain still hasn't fallen, so now the original provider of the wells, we call him the claimer of is now interested in seeing that the water hasn't replenished the water supply, so he wants his cash, he wants his kesef, his silver. Kevon shigia zman v'lo yordu gshamim, when the date came that they had established arrived and rain still hasn't fallen, b'shachris sholach lo shager li O mayim, o mos sheish li biotcha. So the Adon says to Nagdimon, once the morning of that date arrived, he says, send me either water that you promised me or money. Shalach lo, so Nagdimon sent back, adayin yesh li zman. You're putting this request in at the in the early morning, but I still have time. Kol hayom kulo shelihu, the whole day is mine. In other words, it's still time. There's still time, technically, for rain to fall and fill up the wells, and that will be my way of paying back the debt. But sorayim sholach lo, the at noon the adon sent. Well, still the rain still hasn't fallen. Shager li o mayim o mos sheish li biotcha, send me water or the money that you have. My money that you have in your possession, in other words, the money that you claim to owe me. Shalach lo, so Nagdimon sent back, Adayin yesh li sheyos b'yom, I still have time in the day. There's still time for the rain to fall. B'mincha shalachlo shageli oy mayim oy mos sheyesh li biodcha. Mincha is the later part of the day arrived, and the Adon puts in the same request. Shalachlo and Nachdimon gives the same response. Aday nishli sheyes payom. I still have time in the day. Liglego lo voso Adon Omar, the Lord, the claimer, starts to ridicule. Omar, kol hashana kula lo yorduk shaman. All year, rain has not fallen. We continue at the top of Daf Chof, the Achshav Yerdu Geshomim, and now you think that rain is going to fall. Miad nichnas lebeis hamerchutz besimcha. So this Lord goes into a bathhouse with joy, realizing that he's now going to be paid the 12th kikar of kesef. While he was going into his bathhouse for his bathing, Nachdimon nichnas lebeis hamikdash kishu otzev. Nachdimon enters the base of Migdash in a state of sadness. Nisatef omad befilah, he wrapped himself in his talis and he stood in prayer. Omar lufanov, and he said, Ribonu shel olam, he addresses the Almighty. Galuv yadu lufanecha, it is obvious and clear to you. Shelo luchvodi osisi, velo luchvod abo, beis abo osisi, my actions were not in order for me to achieve honor, nor for my family's name to achieve honor. My whole intention was to make sure that water would be available for the people coming on Aliyas HaRegel. Miyad niskashu shemayim bavim. Immediately the heavens became overcast with clouds, v'yordu gishamim, and rain fell, ad shenismal shteim esrei mayon esmayim v'hosiru, until the wells got filled up to their normal water capacity, and then some. V'hosiru, there was even extra. Ad shiyotza odoin mibeis hamerchatz, Nachdimon ben Gurion yotza mibeis hamikdash. While the Odon left the bathhouse, at that time Nachdimon left the Beis Hamikdash. Kishepogu ze boze, when they met up one with the other, Omar lo tein li demei mayim yoser sheish li biyadcha. So now Nachdimon says, look, your wells have been filled with more water than they had before, than they had when I took it. So you now owe me money. Omar lo, so the Lord says, Yodei ani shelo hirish HaKadosh Baruch Hu etzoi lomo ela b'shvilcha. I know that the Almighty aroused His world, in other words, something miraculous happened, only because of you. However, I still have a claim against you. Ela adayin yesh li pishayin pel. I still have a claim against you for the money, she'otzi mimchas mosa, that I should be able to get from you the money that you owe me. Shekvar shoko chamo. Remember we set a date? Well, the sunset of that date already took place before the rain fell. Ukshamim, when the rain actually fell, it was after the date. So Birshusiar, do they fell on my time, says the claimer. Chazar v'nichnas beis hamikdash, and Nachdimon went back to the base of, he cloaked himself in his talus and prayed, the Omar Lofonov, and said thusly to the Almighty, Ribonu shel olam, Hoda, let it be known, show it, demonstrate, Sheyesh lecha ahuvim boilamcha, that there are those that love you in this world. Miyad nispazu avim v'zorcha hachama. Immediately the overcast skies had become clear. They noticed the clouds dispersed and the sun shone through. But oisa shah omar lo ha'odoin. At that moment the Odoin says to Nachdimon ben Gurion, ilu lo nikdura chamo, if the sun hadn't shone forth, hoya li pishon pel, v'achal shotzi mimcho masai, then I would have had a claim, but now the sun is shining, indicating that it's really sundown had not taken place, and that the water that fell, was really on your time, on Nachdimon's time, enabling that water to be his payback. Tono, we are taught, Lo Nachdimon Shmo, this man's name was not really Nakdimon, Ella Buni Shmo. His name was Buni. Veloma Nikra Shmo Nakdimon. So why is he referred to by that name? She Nikdura Chamo Bavuro. Because the sun pierced through the heavens, shone forth for him. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.